Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about what role your childhood plays in entrepreneurship.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And if it plays a role at all. So here's an interesting question. When you think back to your childhood, I do believe, I have prior knowledge, but I do believe that there were things that happened during your childhood that played a role in you becoming an entrepreneur and how you develop as an entrepreneur. Is that true? Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I would agree for certain on my childhood and what role it played in me becoming an entrepreneur and how I approached the whole thing. So maybe let's just talk personal on this episode and talk about kind of what role our childhood played in it and how it influenced us. So when you think about your childhood, what are the immediate things that stand out where you go, well, this is what happened during my childhood and how these events or things influenced me becoming an entrepreneur and what kind of an entrepreneur I became?
Yeah, mine was very direct. So my dad, when I was 4 or 5, told me I shouldn't work for anyone. So I think he wanted to live vicariously through me. And so he spoiled me at that point and said that. Then over the years, he said 3 things. He said, you should be an entrepreneur, work for yourself, because, you know, the sky's the limit. That was his take on it. And he was already a workaholic. He's a physician. He's an anesthesiologist. So what would happen is he would come home from work. We would have dinner. And then he'd actually take me to work with him. And I would sit in the basically IT room and I would mess with the computers and stuff. That was his version of take your kid to work. It was literally every day. And it was by the time I was 7 or 8. And I just sat there and messed around with the computers. And I had one since I was 8. I would build them and break them and take them apart and learn all about them and get on BBSs and all that kind of stuff. The bulletin board systems from back then. I had dial-up really early, Prodigy, AOL, all the good things. And that was my childhood. And the second and third thing he said was get married early and have kids early. And so now what I say, and then I'll hand it over to you, is I've done everything he wanted, so I don't need to listen to him anymore.
Well, wait. So on the entrepreneurship side, I wanted to ask you, why do you think your dad told you this? But then you said you thought that he wanted to live vicariously through you. On that note, why do you think he said you should get married and have children early in life? Was it also just because he wanted to be a grandfather soon?
Or? No. I don't believe he was really just trying to live vicariously through me either.
Okay.
I think he wanted to impart the lessons that mattered to him, that he felt like he wanted to impart in me. I was an only child. And so he pushed them early. And I think, you know, for his agenda, that was smart. That being said, you know, the growing up, my rebellious streak impacted him the most. And I can blame him too. If you tell someone don't work for anyone, when you're 4 or 5, I think part of me took that in as like, oh, there are no rules. I don't need to follow anyone's rules, even yours. Because he didn't just say it once. He said it enough times that it just got ingrained. And so the one thing I'll say, and I really want to hear your take on this. But one thing I'll say is, of course, your childhood impacts you for the rest of your life. And as you grow up, you know, either you let it keep impacting you in ways that you don't understand, or you start getting a better and better understanding of it because you want to understand yourself better, or you want to improve or whatever. And one of the things I have to say about it is, as harsh as this might be, it has little to do with what other people said or did to you. Even though, you know, I wouldn't say I had a terrible childhood by any means or anything like that, or people were mean to me or anything aggressive or anything like that. But at the end of the day, whatever those things are that happened, however extreme, however good or whatever, you took it in a certain way. You internalized it. It wasn't someone else doing something to you. It was you internalizing what they said. So someone else, some other child with some other brain, could have taken what my dad said and did something completely different. My rebellion wasn't against him. my rebellion was just like against everything. And it's because I didn't understand what rules were. I didn't have that many rules. I had very few rules growing up. And that's what I think shaped a lot of how I think about things.
So I think that's a really important point and a beautiful one to make, which is, you know, there's two points actually. One is, you know, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you, it's how you interpret what happens to you, right? So two people could have the exact same event happen to them and interpret it very differently. There's famously the story of twins that grew up in a very rough situation with a drug addicted parents and just like violence and all these things, and then ended up going down very different paths. One of those twins becomes a lawyer, a very successful member of society, and the other one becomes a big drug addict and a criminal, and both interviewed about their lives, pointed to their rough upbringing as, with this type of childhood, how could I have become any different, right? Like, one person took that rough childhood and said, I've lived through hell, so I knew I needed to create a better life for myself. I had no other choice. And the other one, who went through the identical experience and with identical DNA as a twin or fairly identical DNA, said, with that messed up of a childhood, how could I have ever made something out of myself? Like I could only fail with those experiences. So it's kind of the decision and the interpretation and your reaction to what happens to you more than the actual events. And the other thing is, like, your past is not your future, right? So some people are kind of, I find that some people get stuck in their past and they use the narrative of it to hold themselves back forever for their entire life, or to limit who they could be and where they could go in their future. We really don't want to encourage these ideas, but I do think it's important to understand your childhood and what happened there, and understand your past to be able to transform it or deeper understand why you are the way you are, who you are, how you think, in order to be able to either, you know, interpret what's going on in your life better or to change the things that you don't like moving forward. So it's fascinating to hear the whole, like, you shouldn't work for anybody. And then that meaning to you and your interpretation, there are no rules. I should do whatever I want. That's kind of awesome. You know, I'm sure you created a bunch of trouble and challenges for yourself and your dad, but it does make a lot of sense. And it's kind of a good interpretation, good take on it. I think for me, in my childhood, a number of things happened. I think that one, we went through a period where a lot of bad things happened to our family, from, you know, the death of my father, the sudden death of my dad, us being kicked out of our home, and having to go to like public housing and to a totally different neighborhood. Our family not talking to us. And that was all happening during me starting first class in school. And then I had the bad luck of my first school teacher was a terrible woman and a racist and just a horrible, horrendous human being. So I just, like, there was like a 2-year, 3-year period in my childhood where it seemed to me, my interpretation as a child was that the world was against us. And we were very powerless. Like, my mom and my two brothers and I were like pushed around in society, and we were like not having the strength, the resources to push back and to have influence over our lives. And that definitely put a big chip on my shoulder and made me feel like I don't want to be powerless. I don't want to live a life where anybody can just come and do bad things to us and we can't do anything about it. So I remember that was very impactful, that I wanted to be strong and I wanted to be in a situation where I have control over my life and I'm not the victim of other people's influence and decision-making on what I can or cannot do in life. So that was a big thing, I think, that influenced me a lot. And then I think I naturally had a tendency to, I think I was born with a sense of confidence and a sense of megalomania and thinking I need to be important and significant and I need to accomplish a lot and be, you know, become rich and become famous and whatever. But my entire environment was low, poor income, immigrant, neighborhoods, all these people that were uneducated, not wealthy. And so I didn't know what to do, but I knew I desired to have some more power in my life and to be able to help my family and to create some kind of significance. And I think that that desire and the situation that I was in as a child, that led me to discover, hey, there's this thing called entrepreneurship. This is how businesses are started. You don't need a diploma. Nobody needs to give you permission to start. And any type of business you create, it's your creation, and you can make it as big or as small as you, your creativity, your hard work allows it to be. And that, once I discovered that option, it was the answer to a very significant question that I had. And so I instantly